Troublesome waters, much blacker than night, are hiding from view the harbor's bright light. Tossed in the turmoil of life's stormy sea, I cry to my Savior, have mercy on me. Then gently I'm feeling the touch of His hand, guiding my boat and safely to land, leading the way to heaven's bright shore. Troublesome waters, I'm fearing no more.
Welcome to Sound Doctrine. This is Chris Ardern, your host. We can be found at www.sounddoctrine.org. And you know, it's been a while since the last show. Again, it's just these shows are just harder and harder to put together. As you know, we've said so much over the last couple years, and I don't feel the need to keep pushing for more and more. Just what's important. And oh, there's been so much that's come together, even over the weekend for me. I've just been seeking the Lord and just had a major, you know, flowing of revelation, understanding over the weekend, tying so much together. And a lot of it came from that blog that I've posted, the Overcomers website that I stumbled upon as I was searching for the blindness of Israel. And that guy Ken on that blog, you know, saw it the same way I was seeing it, and you know, what led me to him. And then I just started chewing through his material, and as I was doing that, it just something clicked. I don't know what it was, but it was just the right time, I think, and I don't understand it. But all of a sudden, I just saw so much at one time coming together. You know, really coming out of the Zechariah study, really, as we see, you know, so amazing. That you know a couple shows ago where I was seeing the truth about the Mount of Olives for what it was, and I really believe that the Mount of Olives was us. It's a metaphor, and this guy sees it the same way. Only time I've ever seen anybody teach it, you know, and oh, it just with that just led to more and more identifying with what he's putting out, and you know, particularly concerning the second coming, because there's so much speculation going on right now about that. As so many are waking up, there's a you know, level of understanding coming in to God's people. But then we go, you know, is this it? Is this what it's talking about? Is, you know, what I'm seeing is the blindness in part is being lifted from Israel, being us, you know, the church. And that spirit of slumber that the Lord has had us under for a long time, you know. But with the teaching that's out there right now, I'm just still really compelled to preach the truth and really cut through the tangled mess of false doctrine the best I can, trusting that the Lord gives me the ability to put to words, you know, what I'm seeing. But the more you get into this, though, the more you realize what Satan has done, as he's twisted the truth of Scripture, you know, and really in a brilliant way. And then, as a few years ago, I realized how significant that the doctrines that were being hijacked and counterfeited by Satan, you know, by the religious movements, they were very significant. And I started taking notice of them. And really, when I first woke up, one of the early things I realized was, is I began to understand 144,000, who they were. You know, it was so clear that Satan was certainly going to go after that identity right off the bat, which he did, you know, at the period of time which we've identified, you know, probably as the period of time when the bottomless pit was open, you know, in the late 1800s. You know, we've tied that to the 5 months, you know, the locust scorpions out of the bottomless pit torment men 5 months, the 5 months being 150 years as a, you know, a day for a year goes in connection with the prophecy in Daniel, as the end will be as a war and a flood. And the bottomless pit being open is clearly the Gog Magog war. It's the flood out of the serpent's mouth, you know, it's deception. At, you know, mass mind control deception that has now come to the full today, you know, with the use of the electronic media and man's philosophies and,
you know, all directly tied to the flood. And, you know, the flood waters were on the earth 150 days. It says that in Genesis. And no question, you know, there's the connection there that at the end of the age, end of the New Testament age, we see the transgressors come to the full. And, you know, the connection to the little horn power and what have you. But as I say, we saw Satan, you know, attacking these important doctrines, all coming, you know, out of that time period and coming forward. And we have, you know, the identity of the 144,000 being corrupted by the Jehovah's Witnesses, the identity of Ephraim, you know, thoroughly confused by the Mormons. You know, recently, as 20 years ago, the important understanding that we've brought out of the branch, in all capital letters, you know. The branch is Israel indwelt with the Lord, you know, the Lord manifest in his people. But, you know, it's completely, you know, tied to the two witness lampstand body of witnesses, you know, in sackcloth and ashes at the end times here. Obvious that the Lord, that Satan is going to attack these doctrines. And, you know, the branch, you know, was in the you know, media, you know, 20 years ago when we had this character, David Koresh, which is metaphor there. That name stands for something. I forget exactly what it was. But, you know, he's pushing the Branch Davidians, which is really a twist on very sound doctrine, which is what, you know, I've been teaching, seeing, trying to teach as the branch, you know, comes at the end of the age when the kingdom is restored. And as far as that goes, there's been a lot of you know, different angles taught there with the kingdom reunited. And I submit to you that the kingdom has not been united. It is being united now at the end of the New Testament age, but it you know, the work was done, the finished work was done on the cross. But this thing did not just, like, you know, all of a sudden happen. It was a process. The Lord has been building his house, you know, building the city in troublous times. You know, this has taken this whole New Testament era to accomplish. And it's not till the end, until the spiritual house is completed, you know, that the spotless bride is ready, you know, for her groom. And, you know, so much confusing doctrine floating around now concerning that. And you know, the attempt to say that that happened at the cross. Yes, the work was done. The atoning work of redemption was done at the cross. But the, you know, applying this to a people, you know, still required time. You know, God's work, you know, it doesn't just happen with a click of a finger. You know, we are still in the framework of time. You know, not to say that there's a period when time is no more, which, you know, is becoming more and more clear.
stick with me tonight because it's going to be a really interesting show. Challenging. Might not sink in, but I pray it will. And as it does to those who can hang, that can hear this, you know, I promise that this will be another phase of our journey as we are attempting to understand the Lord's plan. But I'll continue on with this. When I was realizing how these important doctrines are being counterfeited in these religious movements, we could write volumes on this, but I'm going to cover a few of them just to bring clarity to what I'm saying. But we have, the Branch Davidians have been written off by the mainstream as a bunch of kooks that were burned alive for their antisocial behavior, And that's, Satan accomplished his goal there. We got, one of the largest mass movements in Christianity today is this Bethel movement. And it is as loaded with metaphor as it links itself to the golden calf worship in Bethel, at the time of the split of the kingdom. These are all similitudes that just go on forever. We've seen so clearly the locusts that ascend out of the bottomless pit in Revelation 9. The plague that blocks out the sun. The sun being the gospel. The Lord has given us clear signs that the metaphoric bottomless pit is indeed open. And, we see a maniacal religious leader, religious character, Todd Bentley, with Joel's army, Joel's locust army literally tattooed to his chest. It just can't be more clear for those who have eyes to see this stuff. T.D. Jakes, there's a YouTube video, with him preaching to his audience. They need to be like locusts, and he's flying around like locusts, teaching everybody to, fly together like locusts. And then we've got this prominent religious sound leaders in, the Moody camp, such as Alistair Begg, where I saw one of his devotional studies, where he spent, one of his pages teaching us that locusts are good and Christians should fly like locusts, as is illustrated in Joel. Well, we know clearly what Joel is teaching us, that the locust army that devours every green thing, and they are doing wickedly against the covenant. They devour the vine and bark the fig tree, in other words, are attacking the covenant. We've been over and over this stuff, but just tying this together just to set the stage for this show tonight. We've got religious conventions, where you sign up for the package, the airfare, the rental car, and the hotel accommodations to go and join them on their gathering of eagles, where the carcasses lie. I have that parenthetically in my notes here, but the gathering of eagles, literally a religious gathering. Metaphor for the vultures that are devouring the carcasses, in Scripture. Right there in the open for all those with eyes to see, And it's almost comical, but it's not. It's not funny at all. But God, in his brilliant wisdom and irony, is reaching his people with understanding of his work, his plan, that it's unfolding before our eyes. But with that said, there is nothing more astonishing as the largest fraud ever contrived. The counterfeit Israel. Realizing this years ago, the Lord continues to open up more and more to me as far as what I see taking place and how utterly significant it is, as it is, as his time stamp. Today when we look around us and we just see the symbolism everywhere. And we just have to stop and consider what it's saying. And we know the Zionist movement, came to fruition in 1948 with the appearance of the nation state of Israel. And, as many of us are, understanding that for what it is, the depth of this event and the truth that it's counterfeiting, is just becoming more and more clear and more important to take note. And I'm going to go ahead and quote Sigmund Freud here to make a point. And this is out of an article written that
It's entitled "The Zionist Brainwashing of America." It's up on the internet. But out of there is a section that says, another part of the master plan has been to disguise the true nature of Zionism in the deep roots of Jewish supremacism, which it sprang. The Zionist singular goal, the negation of exile, was a fraud, according to the neocon prophet Leo Strauss, who confessed that they had harbored an equally important secondary objective of proving that the power of religion has been broken. And that's a quote from Leo Strauss's review of Freud's Future of an Illusion, one of Sigmund Freud's works. But it's actually, what I just read is actually a very profound twist of truth. And the reason I'm here is because over the last week, there was one of our friends, Ed, had posted a quote from Menachem Begin. And, you know, I've seen this quote before where, you know, it's him making the claim that the Jews are the master race, you know, and they were going to rule over the Goyim and all that stuff, you know. And ironically, in that is absolutely truth, in that the true Israel of God is going to rule. But, you know, man has taken it, you know, through hijacking the identity of the Jew, and, you know, all tied to the, you know, the Jesuit Freemasons. And, you know, their plan, you know, as vessels of wrath for God's purpose to do all this, you know, as the Lord has allowed his abomination, you know, of desolation to come to the full, you know, to the consummation, you know, even determined shall be poured out upon the desolate, as it says in Daniel. You know, as this thing has really coming to the end. But the truth of the matter is, with this resurrection of this nation state of Israel as the counterfeit, the physical land in the Middle East, we see, you know, tremendous, profound truth in understanding the spiritual parallel to it. And what is happening is God is restoring his people Israel. See, this is just happening now in our lifetime. You know, it's the fact that Christians are waking up to the fact that they're Israel. This is the signature of the remnant. Their understanding of who they are. But we see, you know, this is something you never hear taught. I never did, but, you know, the brotherhood between Judah and Israel was severed at Christ's betrayal. You know, who's ever taught on that? I mean, I'm sure somebody has, but I never heard it, but it's so clear in Scripture. You know, this is all coming out of our Zechariah study. You know, Zechariah chapter 11, verse 13, the Lord said unto me, cast it unto the potter, a goodly price, that I was prized as at of them. And I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the potter in the house of the Lord. Then I cut asunder my staff, even bands, that I might break the brotherhood between Judah and Israel. And that's when Israel was officially scattered. I mean, we can say it happened at the Babylonian captivity. You know, whatever happened there with the similitude of the return to Jerusalem under, you know, Joshua and Zerubbabel. You know, those are all types and shadows. But here the Lord is clearly showing us that the brotherhood between Judah and Israel was severed at the time that the Lord was sold for 30 pieces of silver or was betrayed. And we know in James chapter 1, verse 1, James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. You know, and he in the next verse, he refers to them as the brethren. You know, so this is James addressing the 12 tribes that are scattered as brethren of the Lord, Christians. So, you know, there's no question about that. And you know, what's been taking place as the Lord had his people scattered, you know, among the Gentiles, and basically as a curse for disobedience, you know, and, you know, what we've seen and been taught about the New Testament era and the Christian, quote unquote. There's problems with it. But we're going to go and look at Scripture concerning what the Lord promises to do in that day. when Israel is gathered. And really, to understand it, we look at the counterfeit, you know, of these claims, you know. And 1948 is clearly the timestamp God has given us to understand where we are in His prophetic clock. You know, and the Scofield Bible set the stage with the Jewish dispensational doctrine for this to be accepted, along with the new Bibles and everything else that the Lord has come. I mean, the Lord is allowed to happen in His house at these, you know, at the end of time, or the end of, you know, possibly the end of time. I'll clarify that later. But I am now repenting of my blanket criticism of dispensational theology. I'll repeat that again. I, Chris Ardern, of Sound Doctrine, am repenting of my blanket criticism of dispensational theology. You know, I'm ironically realizing there is more to this seeming deception than I thought. And I told a story, you know, a while back that, you know, in a time of my life, I was newly married, young family, and I had little girls, and we befriended a family that had no father. And this woman had boys and just a house, she had her hands full. And I'd go over to the house. I'd help her out a little bit and spend time with the boys. And I had a lot of fun. And I saw this week on Facebook, the one boy had a baby, you know, this week. And he doesn't talk to me because he's, you know, he's a Christian. You know, he's in this Bethel movement, can't hear anything I say. But I love him, you know, and I pray for him, and I'm still rooting for him. But anyway, just the story is they had it in their mind when they watched television that they had to switch the wires behind the TV every time they wanted to go from the VCR to the TV. So over who knows how long, they had this ball of wires behind the television tangled up that I had never seen before in my life. And it was kind of funny because I had this thing about tangles, and I enjoy untangling tangled up messes. You know, I work in a shop where I've got extension cords all over the place all the time, and I always, you know, try to keep things flowing without being tied up. Anyway, so I sat there. It must have taken me a half an hour to undo this tangled ball. It was like the size of a basketball of VCR and television wires. I just say that for the analogy of that was absolutely nothing compared to what is Christian doctrine. As Satan has taken sound doctrine and convoluted it into this mess today. And then as we approach the, you know, scripture with new understanding the Lord gives us, it's easy to take everything and throw it out. But we can't do that either, because Satan has done a masterful work of confusing what is there. And I learned not to throw the baby out with the bathwater. And I'm learning a big lesson today, having to repent from some things I've taught as an extreme, countermeasure to what is clearly the error of Scofield dispensationalism. But I'm here to tell you today, I'm seeing now very clearly in Scripture that there is a third dispensation. And it's not the millennial kingdom. That's the problem. Because there's this doctrine of the millennial kingdom taught in the church that Bill and I clearly saw years ago that was false. But it doesn't take away the fact that there is a period of time when the true gospel, the everlasting gospel, does prevail. And I had spotted it. I knew it was there, but it just was never opened up to me. But now, at this juncture, in my study, understanding, seeking the Lord, it's opening up, and the Lord is tying it all together. And just reading a couple of the studies from that Overcomers website over the weekend, it just all clicked with me, and I see this thing as clear as the nose on my face now. But, you know, it might not be something that's received, and I'm, you know, willing to accept that, but I'm going to try. But I'm going to say right now, there is most definitely a third dispensation. and it is the restoration of Israel, when the blindness in part is lifted. So this is a twist on what is taught in Schofield rapture cult dispensationalism, but the way that it's taught there, it's that the church is separated from this. You know, like the dispensational rapture church teaches that the church is out of here by like Revelation chapter 4 or something like that, when they don't realize that that's right when they're waking up, when they're the church. They're the Israel. They're the blind Israel. It's talking about them. It's talking about us. And I'm here tonight to tell you that this thing that we're going through, and everyone in different levels of understanding, well, we're in the middle of the waking of Israel, and we're it. And as we, as you know, the house of God, are reclaiming our birthright as Israel. And you know that the common thread of truth in our remnant camp is the understanding, and more specifically the realization, that the body of Christ is the Israel of God. And this realization is the blindness being lifted, the spirit of slumber upon the house of Israel, as they awaken and reclaim their heritage as the Israel of God. Well, what do you think's happened to us, folks? This is what's happened to us. And this is the true spiritual teaching reality of what, you know, Satan through man is counterfeiting out there. The regathering of Israel and Palestine, and you know, all the physical attempts that the Lord, you know, that the Lord allows his vessels of wrath, you know, to carry out, you know, for his purpose. But it's all scripture. It's all there. I've seen it, and I understand it now, and I can teach it, I think. But, I mean, I've been on Hosea here for a while, and Hosea chapter 1, verse 9, then said God, call his name Lomai, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured or numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living God. Okay, do you understand what's happening here in Hosea? Verse 11, then shall the children of Judah and the children of Israel be gathered together and appoint themselves one head, and they shall come up into the land, for great shall be the day of Jezreel. Okay, now there's a whole faction in the remnant church that'll teach you that all happened at the cross. Okay? It did not happen at the cross. That has taken the New Testament era to manifest. And it's manifesting now. At the end of the age, the children of Israel and the children of Judah are being gathered together. It's the true United Kingdom. It's the true joining of the two sticks. And it did not happen at the cross. The groundwork was laid. It began at the cross. But this work is the New Testament era. And it's not completed until the end, until New Jerusalem is done, until the walls are built. Okay? And this is, but the good news is this is where we are, folks. This is where we are. It's clear. The church, through the times of the Gentiles, was blinded to the fact that they were the Israel of God. You know, God removes the blindness at the end of the age. Now this is what's happening to us. The fullness of the Gentiles have come into the house of Israel. Israel is no longer blind. They are waking, seeing, understanding who they are again. Again, I say, because this is what happened. It's part of the curse that, the stiff-necked people, and, you know, they were not a people. Ye are not my people. God said to them. But then he says, there it shall be said again that ye are the sons of the living God. And there's more. So just sit tight, sit back, and try to follow here. It's all in preparation for the return of the Lord in glory as he completes his spiritual house, New Jerusalem, his bride. He gathers the elect from the four winds, spiritually in truth. Not literally in the desolate wasteland in the Middle East. That's man. That's man doing his thing, his house built on its own base, this whole false religious system that's been built around that whole thing going on there, as we see it just manifesting. And what's really happening here in Scripture is that we are passing from Pentecost, in other words, the New Testament, to the era known as Tabernacles. Now, this is what the church has tried to teach as the millennial reign of Christ that lasts 1,000 years. Well, gross error, gross error. This is not the millennial reign of Christ. This is the reign of Christ. This is the end. This is the kingdom that has no end. There is no end to this. And it is the third dispensation. The third dispensation. So I am a repentant dispensational teacher. I am not, I'm just repenting of my blanket disdain for the dispensational teaching out of the Scofield Bible. As I say, this thing is as you continue and you go deeper, you realize the depth of deception, the intricacies of this masterpiece of deception that Satan has accomplished, that God has allowed. It's just, you know, this is what it's come to. And the time of Pentecost is the time of the New Testament when the Holy Spirit indwells his people, God's people. The indwelling Holy Spirit influences. But in the third dispensation, known as Tabernacles, it's the time when the Lord Jesus manifests in his people. Revelation 21, verse 3. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God." That's what I'm talking about, folks. That's what I'm talking about. This is Revelation chapter 21, which is right after Revelation 20, which is right after the 1,000 years and the bottomless pit and Gog Magog. Then we have Tabernacles. I'll say that again. We've got the 1,000 years, we've got the bottomless pit, and then we have Tabernacles. In other words, we have Ezekiel chapter 37, we have Ezekiel chapter 38, and we have Ezekiel chapter 39 beyond. Ezekiel chapter 39 and to the end is talking about the third dispensation, the final dispensation, when God manifests in his people. The 1,000 years are fulfilled. The time of the Gentiles are fulfilled. The bottomless pit is opened. The short space, the little season, when Satan is released to deceive the nations again. And this is the period of time that we are in right now. And it could be that it's not long for it to end. But the millennial kingdom is a farce. It is a false teaching. There's no such thing as a millennial kingdom. 1,000 is a metaphor for an indeterminate period of time. It is the time of the Gentiles. It's the time of the New Testament era, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, influencing man, allowing him to receive the gospel. That time is over. We are in a time when no man can work. I have to ask you, when's the last time you saw somebody get saved? You haven't. It's because this is the time period when no man can work. This is the time period when the gospel cannot be received. This thing that's being paraded around is the gospel is not the gospel in these harlot whorehouses. Those who do wickedly against the covenant, he will corrupt with flatteries. Daniel chapter 11. Oh, this is what's happening in the house of God today. And this is the time when the two witness lampstand
body has been removed from the church. God's people have heard the call to come out. Come out of her, my people, and don't partake of her plagues. This is what's happened, you know, and there's just... this is just very perilous times that we're in right now. Just going to go through some notes here. It's not easy to teach this right now, but I'm going to keep going. Just connecting some more outward symbols that we're seeing around us today, just to know where we are. But Revelation 21, verse 12, and it had a great, this is New Jerusalem, had a great wall high, had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes, the children of Israel. You know, and it goes on to describe the dimensions of New Jerusalem. You know, and it's a metaphor. It's a picture the Lord's given us. You know, the house, the spiritual house, his bride. So you got a picture of his spotless bride, you know, in dressed in righteousness. Or you have a picture of this cube, which is New Jerusalem, the spiritual house built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. The 144,000 built into the walls with Jesus Christ, the cornerstone. Okay, it's a picture for our minds to get around. But what do you see everywhere you look today? Illuminati symbolism. This cube, have you noticed that? You see this cube everywhere. Well, what is that? Well, it's the New Jerusalem. It's man's idea of New Jerusalem. You know? It's because Satan is doing everything to counterfeit New Jerusalem. You know, we've shown it in these studies, you know, clearly, though. You know, the Mormons are building New Jerusalem in St. Louis, Missouri, you know, the British United Kingdom, you know, British Israel, the whole British Israel movement, everything that comes out of that, you know, we've done just extensive research I can't go into now. But, you know, it's Satan's attempt to restore his kingdom. And see, I was saying that it's all man's attempt to restore this kingdom on earth, teaching adamantly that it's not on earth. This kingdom is not of this world. But I don't know about that anymore. Questioning it. I'm questioning the new heaven and the new earth, what it is. I mean, I'm questioning it. I'm not teaching it right now. But I do know that there is a third dispensation where man, where the gospel prevails, which is not now. Stick with me here. You know, just a little more. You know, you see William Blake's poem. You know, I brought all this out during the Summer Olympics 2 years ago. The song was the theme. We will build Jerusalem in England's green and pleasant land, which is the New World Order, as it's manifested. You know, I believe the New World Order was completed in 2012. I believe the Summer Olympics of 2012 were the official kickoff of the New World Order. But really, it's all convoluted twists of the truth. You know, it's man attempting to create God's, you know, restored kingdom himself, you know. But it's all in Scripture. It's all clear. And it's very clear how this thing goes. As God truly does bring back the United Kingdom. Not the way, you know, the England attempts to do it. Or, you know, tied to the Vatican and whatever you want to do there. I'm not going to go into that tonight. But it's all working together. I believe completely as the little horn power, you know, and America is completely, you know, in the middle of this whole thing is the military might of this little horn beast power that is in control of this satanic world today. But let's take a look at Scripture to get back on track here. Ezekiel 36:23. Now consider where we are now. We're setting up the stage for this whole account of the New Testament, the transition, and then into tabernacles. I will sanctify my great name, which is profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all the countries, and I will bring you into your own land. See, God has restored his great name in our generation. You know, this is what we've seen happen. As this is all happening right now, as God's people are realizing that they are Israel. It happened to us as we stood upon our feet. You know, then this is Ezekiel 37:9. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus say the Lord God, come out from the four winds. Okay, there's gathering the elect from the four winds. You with me? Oh, breathe and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. And I had, you know, a dear friend tell me, there's no army. I'm not going to be part of any army. Christ is working in me and doing a work in me. Well, okay, but you're part of something bigger than you, okay? Therefore, this is Ezekiel 37:12. Therefore, prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your grave and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Okay? And this is not the Israel and Palestine right now that we see in the news every day with you know, heat-seeking missiles flying in the air. That's something, but it's not this. But see, this is where the remnant camp will sidetrack and claim that this happened at the cross. Okay? The work was laid, the redemption work was done, but it didn't happen. The New Testament era ran its course as the Gentiles came into the house of God. But it's not till the end until they awake to their true identity. Ezekiel 37:16, moreover, the Son of Man, take thee one stick and write upon it for Judah and upon the children of Israel his companions. Then take another stick and write upon it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel his companion, and join them one to another into one stick, and they shall become one in thy hand. The house of God has been scattered since before Christ. It has remained scattered until now. God now, at the end of the age, has brought back together the two sticks into one manifest as the remnant of the house of God, coming into the realization of who they are. This is what's happening to us. Ezekiel 37:23. Now listen to this. And you tell me if this is talking about the New Testament. Neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions, but I will save them out of all their dwelling places wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them. So shall they be my people, and I will be their God. Ezekiel 37:24, and David, my servant, shall be king over them, and they shall have one shepherd, and they shall also walk in my judgments, and observe my statutes, and do them. Has the house of God ceased to defile themselves with idols during the New Testament era? You know, of course not. Of course they haven't. This is not talking about the New Testament era. This is talking about the third dispensation. Continue on in Ezekiel 37:25, and they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt, and they shall dwell therein, even they, and their children, and their children's children, forever, and my servant David shall be their prince forever. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them. And I will place them and multiply them and will set my sanctuaries in the midst of them forevermore. This is where it transitions, folks. This is a prophecy, Ezekiel prophesying what is going to happen. And this is, remember, Ezekiel 37, before the Gog-Magog war hasn't happened yet. That comes in the next chapter. But Ezekiel is jumping ahead here, telling us what's going to happen. I will place them and multiply them, and I will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Yea, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And the heathen shall know that I, the Lord, do sanctify Israel, when my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forever. These verses are talking about another dispensation. You know, this is Ezekiel chapter 37. What's next? And I'm just going to be redundant here. My notes, I might have skipped around a little bit, but I'll say it again because it's important. The problem has been with this false teaching of the millennial kingdom. And it's a tangled mess, see? This third dispensation is not the 1,000 years. It's not the millennial reign. This never ends, people. This thing I'm talking about, this third dispensation, doesn't end. The 1,000 years of the New Testament era, it's over. The times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. Revelation 20, verse 3, and cast him into the bottomless pit, shut him up, and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. See, this is so clear, and this is the most solid anchor that I have in my teaching with confidence when it says that the 1,000 years happened before the bottomless pit's opened. At the end of the 1,000 years, the bottomless pit is open. We know the bottomless pit's open. The little season, the short space. There's no question. There's no possible question that the bottomless pit isn't opened. The bottomless pit is the Gog-Magog War. So where's that? Ezekiel 38 and 9. Right after we just got done reading Ezekiel 37. You see this? You see how this is tying together? Anyone following sound doctrine, you know, knows this. The blog began in January of 2012 with a study showing clearly the Gog-Magog War. And I've basically spent 2.5 years expounding on it. And it all came about from my following the third day studies. And where they left off before, you know, Sue and Randy seemed to get sidetracked and seemed to get tangled up into the cares of the world or whatever. I don't know what happened. But, you know, they laid the groundwork and just at a time when the Lord was waking me up and I saw a need to continue on with this, the understanding of the Gog-Magog event, which is the internal battle of the serpents and scorpions against the remnant of God in his own house. Internal. It's the internal struggle, the internal war between the truth and lies in the house of God. The Gog-Magog War. Anybody wants to just read a choppy, not very articulate, but powerful study? It was the first study I posted on sound doctrine. Go back to the first study. It shows all the scripture. The Gog-Magog War. Fought with bucklers and shields and swords. And what's swords? Swords is the sword out of the mouth of the teacher whose words are smooth as butter. But his tongue is a wielding sword. There's war in his heart. Right? All right, well, I'm going to keep going because there's some major scripture that has been, you know, just, you know, trying to take the doctrine you've been taught in a church and try to reconcile with scripture is so hard. And the roots are so deep. But I just keep trying and stay diligent. Now this stuff that I've, you know, stumbled upon through the study of the branch in Zechariah, and then in Jeremiah 23, Jeremiah 33, and Isaiah, it's coming clear. Isaiah 19:21, and the Lord shall be known to Egypt. This is talking about the third dispensation. The Lord shall be known to Egypt, and the Egyptians shall know the Lord in that day. And shall do sacrifice and oblation. Yea, they shall vow a vow unto the Lord and perform it. Jeremiah 31:34. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and will remember their sins no more. Okay. That verse right there has been a big one because I knew that that wasn't talking about the New Testament. Because what are we doing in the New Testament? Aren't we evangelizing? Aren't we teaching people to know the Lord? But in Jeremiah 31 it says, They shall no more teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me.
See, this is not now. This has not been the New Testament. And this is, I'll have this in the study notes, and this is the study of know the Lord. This is the word know the Lord, the three words know the Lord in the Old Testament. And I'm reading verses from Isaiah through Hebrews. What it means to know the Lord. And it's referencing know the Lord in this third dispensation. It's not talking about the New Testament. What we do in the New Testament is not this. I will even betroth thee unto my faithfulness, and thou shalt know the Lord. That's Hosea chapter 2. Okay, so Hosea is gigantic here because this is a key portion of Scripture that teaches the restoration of Israel. That was not a people, but now they are a people. Hosea chapter 6, verse 3. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, the latter and the former rain unto the earth. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother. This is Hebrews chapter 8, quoting Jeremiah. They shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. I'm just going to repeat it, Jeremiah 31:34. They shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me. Does that sound like the New Testament? It doesn't, because it's not. But this time is upon us, okay? And this is the time in Ezekiel chapter 39. This is after the Gog-Magog War, when it comes to the full, which is very questionable. How much worse can it get? How much worse can this deception get? Ezekiel 39, verse 7. So will I make my holy name known in the midst of my people, Israel. What do you think's just happened to us, folks? The Lord has made his name known to us. And I will not let them pollute my holy name anymore. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, it is come, it is done, saith the Lord God, this is the day whereof I have spoken. Ezekiel 39, verse 8. Consider the context. Consider where this is in Scripture. Ezekiel chapter 39. See, Satan has twisted and convoluted sound doctrine to the point, I almost missed this. I mean, I'm sure the Lord would have, but I'm just getting this. You know? But realizing what's taught about the thousand years, you know, it makes this so confusing. Because this is not the thousand years. It has nothing to do with this. And so when they've taken the thousand-year doctrine and tied it into this, it's where all the problems are. But I always did see a time where the everlasting gospel prevailed. I just didn't know how to touch it, how to grasp it. You know, it obviously wasn't time for me. But, you know, that's that verse from Jeremiah. You know, every man, his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me. You know, they will no longer teach every man his neighbor. So, okay, you know what I mean? It's not going to be like the New Testament. So that's it. That's what got me. So now we can really understand this and look forward to what lies ahead. You know, Zechariah chapter 12, verse 7. And I've been over and over this, you know, in our Zechariah study. The Lord's really opened it up now. Zechariah 12, verse 7. The Lord has also saved the tents of Judah first. I believe that's what's happening to us. That the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem do not magnify themselves against Judah. And in that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as God, as the angel of the Lord before them. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. You know, I really have to correct myself there, because I don't think that is the case. I don't think that the Lord shall save the tents of Judah first applies to us now. This isn't us now. This hasn't happened yet. This is not happening yet. See, this is the thing. I'm just this, you know, clearing up my foggy brain right now in the middle of the show here. I've been trying to teach that is us, you know, making that fit, but it doesn't. You know, it does not fit. This hasn't happened yet. You know, this is not, You know, or maybe it is in process. Maybe we're just maybe this whole thing is underway right now. Not sure. I will seek to destroy the nations that come against Jerusalem. Well, you know, I don't see that happening yet. You know, the nations are still destroying Jerusalem. You know, the Gentiles are still having their way with the remnant of Israel, of the, you know, Jerusalem, true Jerusalem. This is the house of God, you know, the true believers. But Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10 says, "And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him, as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him, as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn." You know, this is all in the battle of Armageddon. "In that day shall there be a great mourning in Jerusalem, as the mourning of Hamadan in the valley of Megiddon." You know, really, I believe that we are just right here, that we're in the midst of this whole thing going on right now. How, you know, how it's all playing out, the multitudes in the valley of Armageddon. No doubt, this is where this is, the metaphor of the valley. But this is a very huge timestamp signature that we have, Zechariah chapter 12, verse 12. "And the land shall mourn, and every family apart, the family of the house of David apart, their wives apart, the family of the house of Nathan apart, their wives apart, the family of the house of Levi apart, their wives apart, the family of Shimei apart, their wives apart, all the families that remain, every family apart, and their wives apart." And I ask you right now, how's your family doing? When we understand what the Zionist Freemasons and their Jesuit handlers are doing, when their pawns make claims like Menachem Begin made, in that, you know, Israel will rule as God. Israel will be gods. You know, they, you know, this whole convoluted Zionist movement, at the core is the belief that the Jewish people will rule the world. And every variation and twist of that, basically. But what it really is a twist of the truth. Because we just read, the house of David shall be as God. Okay, so what's that mean? Well, what that's talking about is the manifestation of Jesus Christ in his people. Okay, that's what it means. And that's what Israel is. Israel is God indwelling his people. And as God has been working with Israel since the beginning. You know, I was saying since Jacob wrestled with the man, but let's go back farther to the father of Israel, Abraham, you know, whatever, however far back you want to take it. God's been working with his people, wrestling with them, lamenting over their apostasy, long suffering, wishing that none should perish. Coming to the point at Jesus' betrayal where he severed the brotherhood officially between Judah and Israel. But we see this brotherhood restored at the end. And we see this time period that certainly hasn't happened, but it's possibly happening right now. It's probably, you know, we're probably, you know, I don't have all the answers, believe me, but it's opening up. And I know where we were, and I know where we're heading. I don't know exactly where we are in the middle of this thing right now, but that's all coming, right? Ezekiel chapter 43, consider the context. And I'm saying this right after I am repeating that the house of David shall be as God in Zechariah chapter 12. The definition of Israel, the symbolic name of Jacob, it means he will rule as God. That's what Israel means. Israel, my son. And he said unto me, Son of man, the place of my throne and the place of the soles of my feet, where I will dwell in the midst of the children of Israel forever, and my holy name shall the house of Israel no more defile, neither they nor their kings, by their whoredom nor by their carcasses of their kings in their high places. Hosea chapter 11, verse 1. When Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. Israel, my son. Okay? Israel is Christ as he manifests in his house, in his body. The regathering, the restoration of Israel is happening. Just like Satan is trying to counterfeit it, it is the elect, the remnant out of the church that God is gathering to himself, restoring his birthright, which has been lost through disobedience. See, the abomination has run. The consummation is here. So clear, we are at the time of the return of the Lord in the clouds. And to make it clear, it has not happened yet. So whatever you're thinking out there, whatever you're listening to, being taught, Pentecost is not Tabernacles. Tabernacles is next. And the only thing that I can say is it seems clear that it happens in a twinkling of an eye. That we are going to be changed. God's elect, as the Lord manifests himself, not indwells us, he manifests in us. That's what it's going to be like. Hosea chapter 12, verse 9. And I, that am the Lord, thy God, from the land of Egypt, will yet make thee to dwell in tabernacles, as in the day of the solemn feast. Okay, this is Hosea chapter 12. This is at the end of Hosea. When the Lord dwells in tabernacles, okay? And that's us. Okay? It's not Pentecost. It's tabernacles. Zechariah 14:16. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. You know, Satan has every aspect of this thing covered. Okay, you know, this is what the New Agers are trying to counterfeit. You know, the Christ consciousness, the shift, the externalization of the hierarchy. You know, this is all counterfeit of what God's doing, what he's going to do. There is the third dispensation, tabernacles. When, hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations, and declare to the isles far off, and say that he that scattered Israel will gather him and keep him, as a shepherd does his flock. For the Lord had redeemed Jacob and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he. Okay? That's Jeremiah 31. Very important. See, the Lord has redeemed Jacob and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he. So redeemed is a key word. He's redeemed Israel from the earth. In other words, that's who the 144,000 are. Those who were redeemed from the earth, they're no longer earth dwellers. That didn't just automatically happen at the cross. This happens as the process of the New Testament era works itself out. The Lord has redeemed Jacob, ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he. That he that was stronger than he is the same identity in Daniel chapter 9. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, not for himself, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city, the sanctuary. The end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. The end of the New Testament era will be with a flood. The end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. The midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. Who's he? This is the one that's stronger than Jacob. And for the overspreading of abomination shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation. And that determined shall be poured out upon the desolate. Isaiah 28, verse 22. Now therefore, be ye not mockers, lest your bands be made strong, for I have heard from the Lord God of hosts a consumption, even determined upon the whole earth. See, this is where we are at the end when the consumption has run its course. When the New Testament era is fulfilled. When the transgressors have come to the full. That's when
the rebirth of Israel happens, when the kingdom is reunited. The rebirth of Israel is the second coming, as Christ returns in his people as his tabernacle. The New Testament Pentecostal era was Holy Spirit indwelling and influence. Tabernacles is Jesus Christ manifest in his people. This is the clincher, because I saw this a few months ago. And that guy that I was telling you about on that Overcomers, I'm going to put a link to that because it's a very important study. Because this is what it is. Zechariah 14, verse 4. Everything that we've been taught about the Mount of Olives is wrong. As far as the second coming, it's a metaphor. His feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof towards the east and towards the west. And there shall be a very great valley. And half the mountain shall be moved toward the north, half of it toward the south. It's the same thing that Isaiah chapter 2 was talking about. And it shall come to pass in that last days that the mountains of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all the nations shall flow unto it. Is that what's happening now? No, it's not, folks. It's not happening in metaphor. It's not happening in spirit. It's not happening yet. But it will. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob, and he will teach us in his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 4, and he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat off their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come ye, and let us walk in the light of the Lord. This is when blindness is lifted from the church. Zechariah 14:5, it just all intertwines. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, and the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azael. Yea, ye shall flee, like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah the king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be in one day which shall be known of the Lord, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. And it shall be in that day that the living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea, half of them towards the hinder sea, and the summer and winter shall it be. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day there shall be one Lord, and his name one. Zechariah 14:21. Yea, every pot in Jerusalem and Judah shall be holiness unto the Lord of hosts. And all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them and see the rain. And in that day there shall be no more Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts. See that? The land of... all metaphor. No more Canaanites in the house of the Lord. This is what's coming. It hasn't happened yet, folks. So just don't, you know, we take these metaphors too far. We take the spiritual too far. I've taken it too far. I'm repenting of it. I'm repenting of throwing dispensational theology out with the bathwater. Needs some serious correction as man attempts to put everything into the physical. But the waking of Israel is us, and it's happening to us now. It's a time stamp of where we are in God's time table. Close. Exciting. Exciting for those who are worthy. Pray that you are accounted worthy to escape all these things that are coming to pass. The deception that is so great could deceive the very elect, if possible, but it's not possible for the elect to be deceived. Thanks for following. Until next time, this is Chris R. Dern from Sound Doctrine saying goodnight. This.